James is awesome, isn't he? James is a good dude, right? Have you guys been gaining anything out of this James series? What? I'd like to hear it. This is hard work. Anything else? Consider it pure joy when it is hard work, huh? There's a ring, there's a hum, and I don't know if it's coming through the monitors. It could be off the drum channels if they're not muted. I don't know what's going on. I'm hearing it. I don't know. There it is. Did you hear it? It's gone. I have like dog-like hearing. I didn't say features. I said dog-like hearing. So James, you guys have been learning some stuff. It's been good. It's been really tough for me to go through because James, it seems like every time he's got something to say, it seems like I'm just at the right place at the right time to hear what he has to say. Meaning my life reflects something that's going on within this story, meaning that a week prior to my teaching, I might be going through something that I'm just confused and being like, why, God, why am I going through something like this? And James is like, well, let me tell you. So it's been good. So I don't know if you guys have been reading along with me at home or what, but man, I've just been getting a lot of great stuff from James. If you guys remember, James is writing this letter to a bunch of people who are scattered throughout the nations because it is a bunch of Jewish people. It's the 12 tribes who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, who have believed Jesus' message and said, I'm going to follow him. And that doesn't set well with the Jewish faith, with the Jewish people, because it challenges that. And so these people are being imprisoned. These people are being beat. These people are being hunted down because of what they believe. And so James gets to write all these crazy cool things like, hey, you know what? You should consider it pure joy when your door gets kicked down, right? Well, he goes on. This is a little bit of a shift, which is interesting in James's letter, but it's still coherent. It's still got great flow. He goes on and kind of switches gears on us a little bit. He was talking about the wise people the last few weeks, right? And the leadership. Who are you to think you're wise, right? Okay, remember last week? When I mentioned something about feedback is cool. Oh, yeah. I suppose if you don't remember that and you remember everything about James, that's a win. Okay, keep that. But yeah, a yes or a no is fine. Or if I ask a question like, what did you learn? Don't sit there silent. Actually, tell me what you learned. That's cool. Good? Is that okay? Will you respond if I ask another question? Okay, good. That was mixed, but whatever. I'll take it. So James switches gears, and we're in James 4, 13 through 17, and if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. Can you do that? If you don't have your Bibles and you need a Bible, we have Bibles for free to give you. Please take one. They're outside, and not outside. They're out on the table that has all the snacks and coffee. Those are not coasters for your cup. Those are Bibles for you to read. If you need a Bible that you can have all the time with you on your phone, there are some awesome apps like YouVersion and Bible Gateway out there that I see a phone glowing. That's one of them. I see two. Yes, good. So if you guys need a Bible that you can just carry around, that's a way to do it. That's what I do. In fact, I'm actually teaching for the first time on my iPad today. Technology, it only took me 15 years. Yeah. Woo, you're so old. All right. So read along with me. We're in James 4, 13 through 17. You guys ready? He says this, now listen. He's getting our attention, isn't he? You who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. So, business owners in the room, he's speaking to you. And everybody else in the room, he's speaking to you. And he's speaking to me. So what is he talking about specifically? Because I would assume that most of us in the room don't think of ourselves as bragging or a braggart, right? We don't go around making people listen to how cool we are. I said some of us, not all of us. Some of you do that, and that's awful to listen to. Those of you that know you're doing that. But James, he makes us examine the more subtle form of boasting. And it sneaks in, it really does. And when he is addressing the arrogance in knowledge occurs when we assume that we control our time. When we assume that we control the events around us, right? This very subversive way of thinking, this very, you know, I wake up and I say, I'm going to go to Cheyenne and get tattooed. That's my time. That's what I do. Tattoos are okay, aren't they? On other people. But James has touched on what has become the major pathology in our society. It's alarming because it's so commonplace. It just exists within us to be overextended in commitments, to be stressed because of time and pressures, and finally become dissatisfied and compulsive people. And I look around at my life, and this is what has been interesting, is I've watched God change these things within me. And it didn't always used to be so. It always used to be my time and what I decided to give to God is how I used my time. I would say, God, I will give you... It's interesting. We have some good friends from my home church, and he was an elder this whole time as I was going to this church. And he's here with us today, so he's going to hear some awesome stuff. Yeah. So my time at my home church was very much spent in a negotiated settlement. You guys, you know who Craig Johnson is? Big bearded fellow. He's going to be back soon. I'm so excited. Anyway, he talks about this as being a negotiated settlement, like you will only give God a certain portion of what you do. Whether it be your time, whether it be your money, whether it be your obedience, whether it be you name it. And this is what I lived in. This is in my home church. I was a pastor's kid, and as long as I kept my head down, didn't do drugs, and didn't get publicly too crazy, get written up in the newspaper or anything, you're pretty safe. You could do whatever you wanted to do. And people wouldn't know any wiser. People would think you're okay. And so I did the bare minimum when it came to Christianity. I said yes to Jesus at 11 years old. And then from that point on, till about 28 years old, I lived in this negotiated settlement. I lived in this weird headspace that I controlled time and events in my life and that God didn't. And I wouldn't really let God have any say. I really wouldn't be obedient to necessarily what he wanted me to do. I'd do it in some things, and the rest of my life I would just, you know, not really do it. And I became very complacent. I became very edgy. I became very... Yeah, it was just not a good space for me to be in. Until about 28 years of age, when I got to this complacent part in my life, and I just said, this is the worst place I've ever been in. Spiritually, emotionally, I can't do this anymore. And so God said, okay, Adam, then don't. And I didn't like that answer because it meant that I would have to consider it pure joy in times of trials. It meant that it was going to be some hard heart work. It meant that it was going to be some hard unworking of myself. But it's funny because we build ourselves up as this awesome thing, right? I'm Adam Koop. I'm awesome. I'm Jeff Parkins. Actually, he is awesome. I'm Louise Johnson. I'm the cat's pajamas. I had to come up with something new other than awesome. Does it work? Oh, sure. So we think of ourselves in this high, interesting place. And last week we talked about humility, right? And that's still the point that James is trying to drive at, and he's just doing it in a different area of our life. And so we think of ourselves in this high, lofty position of we run our lives. We do our thing. We are our boss. And if you claim Jesus today, Uh-uh. You don't do that. You live under a false sense of superiority, but you do not do that. You shouldn't do that, because that is not obedience, that is not humility. But James, he brings this in. He brings in this Old Testament image that you see in Hosea, and you see it in Isaiah, and you see it in, I believe, the Psalms even. And it's about a mist, right? What did he say? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. It's like fog when it comes over the mountain and it lays down Laramie a little bit, and then all of a sudden it's gone. That's what our life is. That's what he's trying to get us to see. And Hosea, for example, this image is used in judgment, and the nation's weak love for God is condemned by its likeness to the morning mist and the early dew that appears. Hosea combined the images of morning mist, disappearing dew, swirling chaff, and escaping smoke to portray how easily the people who trust in idols will be blown away. In contrast, in Psalms 1:4, the wicked are like chaff that the wind blows away. In contrast to the righteous who stand firmly planted, Isaiah describes people who oppose God as being blown away like chaff before the wind. The biblical concept is that human life is utterly dependent on God. So this morning, I have to ask myself this question. This morning, you have to ask yourself this question. Are you utterly dependent on God? And what does that mean? My dependence on God meant if my life was in the, let me clean this up, crapper, God was going to hear from me. God, why would you do this to me? God, why would they do this to me? Up until this point, it was pretty much no communication with God. Up until this point, if I would have listened on how to live and actually did the things that God was already asking me, that I already knew he was asking me, I wouldn't be in some of those places. I wouldn't be having some of these conversations. I wouldn't be self-pity. I wouldn't be depressed. I wouldn't be, because I'd be right where God wants me to be. But that was my life with God. You know, God, oh, man, things are rough. Or God, you know, my grandma's dying. Pray for her. And not that those things are bad. God wants those conversations to happen. But when that's the only conversation you're having with God, try again. So, James impresses upon us this critical piece of knowledge that God is the one who sustains our lives, that each day is 24 hours, is not hours, right? A British theologian, who I wish Joe was here so he could tell us if he knew him personally or not, because Joe is from wee Britain, Great Britain, actually. He says, we receive another day neither by natural necessity, nor by mechanical law, nor by right, nor by courtesy of nature, but only by the covenanted mercies of God. And I don't know as I live in that way. I don't know as I view God in that way. I don't know as I wake up every morning with God on my mind saying, thank you, God, for this mercy, this ability to make a change, this ability to be life to others, this ability to be peace to others, this ability to be grace to others, this ability to be life to those around me. I don't know as I wake up with that just fresh on my mind. That's hard for me. Even as a pastor, it was almost like I got to get myself in that mindset. But that mindset helps dispel self-sufficiency. It takes all that self, we can make it on our own, bootstrap mentality. We don't need God. We are awesome. We are the cat's pajamas. We are the bee's knees. I can go on. It takes that away. And it replaces it with freedom to rely on God's faithful generosity. Everybody that said James is all about works is wrong. James is all about reliance upon God. Reliance upon the things that he is doing in us and through us as he works out his salvation in us. And we just have to be humble. And we just have to be obedient. One of the mistakes would be for us to assume that in Scripture he said, you know, you guys shouldn't say we're going to go to this or that city and make money. You should say, if the Lord's will, if the Lord wills it, we'll do these things. We'll do this or that. So don't fool yourselves in thinking these are like magic words that you can sprinkle on a sentence. Well, if it's the Lord's will, I'll buy a Porsche. Thank you, God. Well, if it's the Lord's will, I'll fail this class. God, you did it again. Yeah. College students, that's for you. That's for you. But to be foolish enough to think that that's, you know, this is this saying or this magic words. It's not the saying or this magic words. It's a lifestyle. It's this living out, this action. It's this being with God so you can be where God needs you to be. And that's all it is. That's all this is talking about is be with God so much that you know where you need to be. And you're going to say, I don't know how to do that, because how do you hear from God, Adam? How do you hear? How do you do this? Because I can't hear it. And it's going to freak you out. For some of you, I've heard God's audible voice. Sounds charismatic, doesn't it? Sounds a little weird. But I have. But what's interesting is that is very far and few between. When I hear God speak, I can probably count on all 10 fingers the times that I've actually heard God just speak directly to me, into my life, in a way that wasn't through Scripture. And so we sit and we're in turmoil and we sit in pain and agony because we say, if God would just speak, I would listen. He has spoken. He's spoken in his word. He's spoken in this thing that we are so reluctant to get into and so reluctant to read and so reluctant to be a part of that we sit and we act stupid. We act like, I don't know the answer to that question. Oh, yes, you do. And if you don't, I know where to find it. And so this being with God so that we can be where God needs us to be is going to look like you in Scripture. It's going to look like you reading through James on your own because you're hungry. Because you're hungry to know the answer for your life. You're hungry to find out where God wants you to be. You're hungry to find out how God wants you to live. Man, it is in Scripture that we find these things. And God throws me a bone every once in a while and says, Adam, here's some divine knowledge. And he tells me things that I shouldn't know sometimes about other people. And I go and ask other people these things. And they say, how do you know these things? It's a message from God. That's what God gives me when he speaks to me. He gives me messages for other people generally. Look, so-and-so is going through a bad time. You need to go and ask them this question. Or you need to tell them about the dream you had about them. Or you need to go and tell them this two-word phrase. That's it. And the rest of the time, I'm taking cues from what Scripture says about us being disciples, about what discipleship looks like, about what love looks like in my life. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Whoa, 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 whoa. You had me at patient. I'm not patient. So what do I need to do in this area, God? Well, I'm going to give you some of the most impatient situations you've ever been in, Adam. And then we're going to go from there, and you're going to see yourself react and respond in these situations terribly, and then you're going to see yourself react and respond in these situations with a little bit more grace, and then I'm just going to slowly beat it out of you. That's how he talks to me. He might say loving things to you, but I need to get my butt kicked by him all the time. So that's the thing. It's being with God so we know where God wants us to be. That's the it. That's what James is talking about. Do not assume in your arrogance and your planning and your way of life that you have this all figured out and that you are the it. You're not. God is. If you claim Jesus Christ this morning, God is the it. So then the question is how do I measure up to this? That's the two steps closer. That's the doing of the thing. How do we measure up to this? Because we can sit and live for Sunday to Sunday and never practice this at all. We can sit Sunday to Sunday, and the only time we crack a Bible or open our Bible app is on Sunday morning when Adam says, "Read with me." Or we can begin to live this thing called life. We can begin to live this thing that our Creator God has desired for us to live this whole time. We talked last week about He desires the Spirit that He put within us. And what is that Spirit? That Spirit is Jesus. That Spirit is the Holy Spirit. That Spirit is the thing that teaches us how to love, how to be grace, how to be mercy, how to be a disciple, how to tell other people about Jesus, how to show other people about Jesus, how to be Jesus. God longs for that. And God teaches to that within all these words that He has already spoken to us in Scripture. These are the things that are going to help us as we be with God so we can be where God wants us to be. It sounds almost simple, right? Read your Bible. I should have just said that and dropped the mic. It sounds so stupid. It sounds so simple. Read your Bible. Be obedient. Be humble. Ask God where you're failing as you read through these pages of Scripture. Ask God where you're failing as you design the course of your life for the next 10 years. My wife and I, it's kind of funny, we bought a motorcycle. She passed the class, by the way. Last week we were in limbo. That's right, I forgot to tell you guys. She passed this class, and we go and we buy a motorcycle, and it was kind of funny because we sent a picture or some kind of text to Louise. She also rides. And Louise said, "You can't buy a motorcycle without having somebody pray about it with you." And we're like, "Ha! Oh." And it was something so simple, like, I'm in a dealership. My wife's got a motorcycle license. I'm excited. She looks hot on a bike. That was the main reason for the purchase. And even with clothes on, it's awesome. Yeah. But it was just funny because Louise, you know, I think even Louise was just being funny too, and it just gave me pause after. I'm like, "No, we're fine, baby." Because she's like, "Is this something we need to just pause and pray about?" I'm like, "We got this." And here I am teaching 6 days later on, you know, is that a good decision? I don't know. At this point, it happened and it's done, but does my life revolve around that? Does my life look to God first? Am I with God so much that I know where He wants me to be? And that's the question for you. This morning, this week, next week, are you being with God so you know where He wants you to be? Are you in the Word? Are you looking for the answers? If you need an answer, if you need Scripture, if you need those kinds of things, like I'm usually the first to not just throw Scripture at you and just say, "Well, it says in Isaiah that..." I try not to do that because I don't want that to just be a quick fix for you, but I try to have a conversation about these things, and then I say, "Oh, and Scripture backs this idea up here." And these are the things that are going to start getting easier as you be with God more, as you start reading Scripture more, as you start knowing where God wants you to be. It's like my dog. My dog Ziva is the spastic. I'm about to cut her tongue out because she licks everything all the time. It's awful. Well, I won't cut her tongue out for real. I talk tough, but. She's a spastic dog, but she's been leash trained, and she's been trained well. But at the first, you know, leaving the house, I'm walking with her, and she wants to pull. She wants to pull. She wants to go sniff. She wants to go. And in the first few pulls on the choke chain and just saying heel, she'll start walking heel. And walking without tugging on the leash, walking without pulling ahead. And what I watch her doing then is she's constantly looking at me as we're walking. Where's he going to go? Where's he going to turn? Is he going to stop? Should I stop? If he stops, I'm going to stop. If he turns, I'm going to turn. And I see this remarkable thing happen within a dog. And I guess I did say I something like a dog earlier. But you watch this happen within this dog, and I see that as my relationship with God, as my relationship with Jesus. The choke chain is the word. The choke chain is my correction. What am I supposed to be doing? There it is. Soon, that choke chain doesn't happen. Soon, I'm able to walk without pulling ahead of God, and I'm constantly looking, God, where? Yeah? Here? Cool. Good. Oh, we're turning. Okay. We're going to go over here. And then you're going to start seeing your life be dictated by different things. It won't be dictated by arrogance. It won't be dictated by your best laid plans. When I took over ministry here and I came on ministry, I had a lot of ideas of what it was going to be and what it looked like. And God just laughed. Sounded like this, ho, ho, ho. Only it was like a lot more reverb. Gussie could have helped me out, but whatever. And God just laughs and said, this is what it's going to look like. This is what true ministry is going to look like. And then there's some days I get to the end of my week, and when it comes to this teaching that I'm supposed to be with God and be with you guys as well, there's so many weeks that I come to my end of my week, and I have not had any time with my teaching because God has me turning right. It's over here. This is where you're at, God. Oh, you're over here left. And that's what I watch. God, where do you want me to be? What do you want me to be doing? Church isn't about this Sunday to Sunday thing. Church is about this constant keeping an eye on God and where he's going you want to be. So are you being with God so that you know where God wants you to be? You do it through your humility, and you do it through Scripture. And the more you do it, I'm not going to say the easier your life is going to get. The more you do it, the more beautiful your life is going to get. Yeah. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for James again, and we thank you for the hard words that he does say, that he does talk to us, that he does speak to us with. God, and some of them sound kind of goofy, like calling out these businessmen and that go to make money at this town or that, but the only reason they're arrogant is because they're not taking their cues from you. They've taken their cues from themselves all their life. And so, God, we want to be a people that is with you. God, we want to be with you so much that we know where you want us to be. Where you need us to be, where others need us to be, because we carry you with inside of us, within the Holy Spirit. And so, God, raise our level of commitment to you. Raise our level of negotiated settlement. God, may that just stop. May that just fall away. As we read, as we come to you for advice, as we come to you for life counsel, and how do we go about this, and I can't forgive, well, yes, you can. Well, I can't do this because I'm telling you, you can. God, I hear that in my life all the time. I say those things in my life all the time. And your scripture tells me otherwise. Your peace and wisdom that you give tells me otherwise. So God, as we kick against this hard road, as we continue to just try to make it on our own and make our own way, God, I pray that that stops today, that it's no more, that our humility would be so great that we would cringe if we looked away from you for just one second to do our own thing. God, may we be with you so much that we know where you want us to be. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.